Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, and I'm here with Keith Malley and Hemda of Keith and the Girl, the podcast. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I voted and I'm great.
Yes, we all voted today.
Well, Bianca told us who to vote for, and I knew I better get it done. She might ask the aesthetics of the building, etc. So I showed up.
Yeah, we went to a meeting before, and I was like, I'm going to go vote before we go to the studio. And he's like, yeah, we can't look Bianca in the face. And
that's right.
Yeah, I did send you both an email, and Andrea, even though she's not a citizen, about the Queens DA race. Uh-huh. Very important local election. And I said, you know, feel free to forward this on, winky face, that kind of stuff.
It is. That's the most important DA in Queens, I believe, right? I would have to assume. That's the DA.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big deal.
The whole county.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I did my part.
We did it. And then we got our sticker, which means I get to post on Instagram.
Yeah. And everybody's like, wait, what? There was an election today? That's what happened to me when I went to work.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Wait, what did you vote for?
I think that's why we have to wear the stickers, because everyone's like,
"That's what." Yeah, because I wouldn't wear the sticker, but it's the best way to get people to vote. That's not annoying.
Yeah, it reminded me.
Did you vote today? And they'll be like, what? But if they see the sticker, they'll say, huh, what did you vote for? Mm-hmm. And then you can say, surrogate court judge. And they're like, meh, never mind. I don't care.
People
I'm
going
to go back
me.
To hating Trump on Facebook.
I said to him that, did you vote for both things we were able to vote for?
Keith, why are you calling me out? I saw a ballot. It had one line in it. And I found the name. And I was very proud of myself. I looked over it and I'm like, it can't be anyone else, right? And I was like, Bianca didn't say. And I don't know what to do once I get here.
Right.
So I did half a thing.
You
I don't know.
You did the most important part.
Thank you.
You did.
Thank you.
Keith?
I don't know what it was for. Okay. Some kind of judge, but as a man or a woman, and I chose the woman.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah, so. Smart thinking.
Oh, look how you get the points for not knowing shit.
Well.
I'm really happy for you guys.
We're really happy for our email that we got from you. So, I actually really did put it on my schedule as soon as I got it.
Happy to help.
Happy to be help. Part of the process.
Yeah.
Now we can complain, because they say if you don't vote, you can't complain.
Right.
Full access.
Yeah, that's what former President Barack Obama said. Mm-hmm. Don't boo. Vote. You know?
Right.
That's what I'm doing.
So now I voted, then I will boo.
Boo.
Yeah, I vote on everything. Everything. Little school has a little thing to vote for.
I love voting.
BTS program.
I love it. It's so fun.
Don't fall. This is Keith just like patting himself on the back for nothing.
You're wearing stickers and jewelry. I'm allowed to pat myself on the back. I'm a hero.
I'm happy that you voted. Yeah. For once, I'm happy with something you did.
Yeah, be a civil soldier.
You're so many kinds of soldiers for this country.
Well, all I know is I saw there were two things to vote for, and I did both.
I'm Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yes, I'm supposed to feel bad now for wanting to make a country better.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. I'm a shipper.
You guys, everybody write in and give Keith a round of applause.
Thank you.
And tell him it was me who sent you. Should we talk about last week?
If we're done praising me.
Yeah, we're done.
Okay.
Action-packed yes. week, starting with episode 3093, Freak Show.
Yes.
So you've been doing this, I think, the past few months, just Keith and Hemda, first episode of the week, together, alone, just setting the tone for the week.
Well, we want to make sure that we can catch up with each other and with like listeners instead of focusing on the guests, especially if they're new. We don't want to interrupt that system. And people say it's good. It's old school to us. You know what I mean? It works. I like it.
And it's good that we can catch up, because we don't talk to each other otherwise. And so here I can just say, how are you, and not be interrupted by a guest.
That's really nice to schedule that kind of time with each other.
Now I know she's dating, apparently.
Who?
I don't even want to get started, but I got that far.
Is she dating Godzilla, the most boring monster alive?
I think he's the most boring monster alive, this Godzilla. He is horrendous. I took my stepson, if you will, to see
it. I won't, but okay. Go on.
And he fell asleep during it. So when a kid is falling asleep during a monster movie.
You've taken the kid to the movies too late. Mm-hmm. Too late at night. Yeah.
Now, I would have been excited. Now, I didn't do anything when I was a kid. He's allowed to walk the streets of New York City. But I would have been staring at a movie. Like, that's how bad this movie was.
Yeah, that's true. If I was allowed out, whether with a guardian or not, I was like, yeah. This is where people are. This is where action happens. This is where everything happens.
There's nuclear explosions. That's what makes these animals the animals they are. And there he is, just sawing logs.
He was over in the studio, which was so cute. Keith is a really good stepdad. Mm-hmm. This kid is in love with him.
Yeah.
You guys are pals?
Yeah. Because he still remembers I took him to Godzilla. He knows I didn't make it.
Yeah.
So he's like, what adventure we were on. And then he's in the studio and, you know, you put on the headphones. The voice sounds a little more something with gravitas. And he's like, this is exciting. He started doing some raps while I played music.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah,
loves me.
Can't wait to hear his album.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on it.
You guys also talked about Father's Day on that episode.
Yes.
Your calling and hanging up gambit.
Yes.
Which is really quite smart. Really good idea.
I thought I'd get the answering machine because my siblings did and I didn't. And I got a hello. And then I did a click.
So
and then through smooth. Emails, he said, I wasn't by the answering machine. Sorry, I missed you.
He gave you an excuse.
I'm like, why is that even? Why are you even lying about that?
Yeah,
I heard you.
Very weird.
This week's like whole, sort of journey of emails of this past week is just we're starting here on Father's Day, mm-hmm. and it just goes down in a spiral.
It's a snowball.
In a snowball spiral of garbage.
Right.
But this Father's Day one was back when it was still funny and fun.
It got a little darker. So.
Yeah. The tone sort of changed. like a cloud just sort of settled over the emails. Sort of reminded me of how Twitter changed when O.J. Simpson got on mm-hmm. and posted that scary video, which you also talked about.
Well, yeah, and then
a lot of people got a lot of splaining to do.
And I'm here to get even.
This social media platform and this giving everybody a voice is the best because the people who have the biggest voice always act like people are trying to shut them up. Like, now that I have a voice, I'm like, there are cameras in front of you whenever you want. In fact, the funniest thing I think is these people are usually saying that nobody lets them have a voice into a microphone on a stage.
Right.
So I love that. And I also love that because they don't know either the privilege or the monstrous attitude that they have, that they sort of like speak from their voice. They don't have the PR. They don't have the agent. They don't have people like cleaning it up on the way out. And it just shows who they really are. And like Keith said, you know, I think it is important to ignore them, but I also understand following them and calling them out. Mm-hmm. And so I teeter between the two because I know if we don't pay attention to something, it'll go away. But at the same time, you really can't make everybody not pay attention to it at the same time. So you might as well listen for what's real.
Right. And it's not like he's such a deep guy, but...
But he thinks he is. Those are the best.
But let's say following him keeps him going. Good. Let's keep him going. He will be indicted in a month. We just have to keep this going.
And it turns out you're right. I mean, this is going into the next week, but he pushed.
I don't know, though. That's a dangerous gamble, I think. Mm. I think that's what people thought about President Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we'll see how long this lasts. LOL. Haha, election night. Here we are.
True.
Watching the poll results come in. Gonna be so cool when Hillary Clinton's president. And then the next day, everyone's like, we took the joke too far. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think I totally see where you're coming from, but I don't know. I don't actually know, like, what the media landscape, what the social media literacy, like how are we supposed to synthesize this type of information unfiltered? I don't know.
OJ ends up our next president because this got out of control.
Well, I mean, you know what? Sure.
But that's the thing, you wonder with this, with him, he can't be president, right? Because he was in jail. So that at least we have this one thing. But
well, maybe the laws will change before then.
True. And then also you think like presidency is not the only platform. The person that I always go to is Mike Tyson, who is a monster of a human being. But guys think it's so funny to put him in their movies as like this tough guy, sweet person.
Right.
And his platform is now huge. He's known as sort of like a lovable tough guy, but really he's a rapist monster.
Convicted, yes.
Yeah, convicted. He chewed someone's ear off. He raped someone. He doesn't apologize. He doesn't give a shit. And then he gets rewarded with all of this stuff. Why? Because we're enamored and we're so curious about people who are sort of out of control and have these weird personalities that like, a hardcore guy with a lisp, that's funny to watch. And so we help them continue.
Yeah, it's weird to like watch a video of a famous murderer just being free.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah. So I go back and forth. I think with OJ, we're landing okay. But you're right. It could just be this one, and it could be that, you know, we end up eating our own words.
People don't have very long attention spans, you know? They tend to forget, like, if he did something good within the next year, maybe everybody would forget about the other stuff.
I don't know if you guys remember, but before the murders, he was so loved. He was on commercials. He was in, it was like a Mike Tyson sort of mm-hmm. thing, except better. He was a relatable, cool, easygoing guy. And so he was in a lot of things as like the sweetheart. And he was just a regular, wonderful millionaire.
Yeah, mm-hmm. one of those.
So he has charisma, yeah. Right? It works on some people.
What do you think, Keith?
I think he's going to be one of these, how many people get caught now on Facebook and whatnot for posting their crimes? I think OJ will end up posting a crime. He always, Kendo's going to say, getting into the following week, OJ has, it looks like, DM'd somebody with a fake OJ account, threatening to kill them with knife emojis. No exaggeration.
Oh, gosh.
I will cut you. 16 knife emojis. Like, oh, yeah? Is that what you said? The person writes back, is that what you said to Nicole? It's like, you motherfucker, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, so I guess that's what's empowering me to be like, maybe we're doing the right thing with OJ, you know? Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. That's a thing. He doesn't even know.
Wielding the knife emoji so callously. The harshest weapon in the emoji arsenal.
It really is.
Worse than the gun emoji, which is now a water gun emoji.
Yeah.
What about the bomb emoji?
Yeah, but worse, the knife is worse because we all have knives. So you're.
That's true.
So yeah, so it's like, oh, I'll bomb like you, but.
Like to see him kill someone with a heart with stars floating around it.
Or an alien.
Yeah.
Alien / Japanese symbol.
Or a guy who's like a shadow over a hole.
Right.
Or a woman dancing and a guy running.
How are you going to get me that way?
Yeah, can't do it, dude. If somebody's threatening you, just send them a bunch of confusing emojis.
Oh, that's good.
And then get them off the scent.
Send them the infinity sign. Just pretend you're deep.
What was the poll on that one, Keith? We got to move on. And we can't do that until we figure out the poll.
You know that. You're sweet. Is Godzilla the most boring monster of all time? 43% say yes, meaning 57% say no. I'd like to know who was more boring than Godzilla. I can't think of anybody.
OJ Simpson.
OJ Simpson was more exciting.
This is, I think this week of polls was Keith looking at me like, huh? And I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. Godzilla boring, yeah, sure.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah, I'm like, is this the science you want to learn this week? Okay.
Like maybe a Frankenstein, that's the human Godzilla. But other than that. Who's so boring?
You mean
boring?
Frankenstein's monster?
I mean the dude. I mean the dude. By the way, everybody says that. I'm talking about the fucking doctor.
The doctor?
Yes.
He was exciting. he had a brain in his head, you know? He came had crazy ideas. Right. Anyway, we have to move on.
Please, Keith.
Okay. Write in which monster is more boring.
Thank you.
Than Godzilla.
Right. I don't think any. I don't even mean like a bad movie, like when Freddy Krueger got corny. I mean boring. The person in its essence.
Even Wishmaster is exciting.
Yes! Fucking three wishes, he'd take over the world. He can't get it done.
I've never seen it, but what about the mummy? Is that mummy boring?
Mummy and Frankenstein, right? They were the original Godzillas. They're the American Godzillas. They were boring and...
The mummy was corny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, disaster.
I have a boyfriend that, like, we went to see the Mummy 2. We saw the Mummy 1 at my place first before we went, and he was, like, way into it. I should have known right there. Fuck out of here.
Oh, that one I didn't mind.
All right, Keith.
Because...
We broke up, too. I don't know how to explain this to you.
Because I'm picturing, like, the 1950s, you know,
movie, I'm like a Frankenstein. Yeah, I'm picturing the Brendan Fraser
one. Yeah, that's the one I saw.
But
that's...
I never saw it. Too scary.
It wasn't really scary.
Too scary.
Yeah, too scary though.
It is scary how everyone went to go see it.
Yeah, no thanks.
And number two.
Disaster area. Mm-hmm. That's something like what Godzilla leaves behind.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
With Catherine Heller.
By the way,
do you like my transitions this very episode? Good.
Heavenly. Oh. Catherine Heller, who hooked us up with our agent, who we saw today. Mm-hmm. And we auditioned to see if we can audition for voiceovers.
Oh, you auditioned for your audition.
It's a fun world, this Hollywood that we're in now.
Did you book it?
Well, so basically, it's just putting it in our file. So we did two different kinds of voiceovers, and then they put it in our file to see if like they want that kind of voice or something. We're just growing our file as much as possible.
Nice.
So many, like, never tell me if you have any ideas, let me know. I came in with a list. And it's so funny because I'm talking a mile a minute and then like halfway through, I'm just like, Keith, please shut up. And then I keep going.
And then the agent asks the question. I go, time to take this one, please.
Every once in a while, I really need Keith. I'm like, who's that comic? And he goes, Ali Wong. And I'm like, you're the best. So we play silent trailers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the agent's office, but she sounds great. Like, we're really hoping that this helps Keith and the girl, you know, open doors and like get to more audience, but also get more opportunities to do live shows and like all of that. But this voiceover thing was our idea. Like, hey, you have this whole agency. We want it on your other parts also. And she's like, oh, we'll throw you in the booth. I'm like, yeah, throw us in the booth. Now, I get nervous because I'm a bad reader. She hands us the thing like right before and I'm like, can we have a minute? She's like, yeah, take all the time you want. I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. Totally cool. So one was a more serious one, a fake ad for Verizon, and another one was a fake ad for Jif. And Keith went first. Solid. Very solid. You have a good voice on mic. You know what? I don't know. I didn't realize that.
Well, thank you. It could have hurt, though. I insisted on calling the peanut butter GIF.
So we
just depends on who you ask.
Right.
GIF peanut butter.
But they had this line where it's like, it's so GIF and good that you'll, what, your mother-in-law?
GIF your pants.
So GIF-rific, you'll. Some of them didn't even make sense.
You'll give up your mother-in-law.
You'll trade it in for your mother-in-law. Yes. But the joke is nobody wants their mother-in-law. So I'd be happy to give it away to get Jif.
Now, Keith, right away, like you sound so good and you're such a good reader that it sounded very powerful. But I know the comment that's always going to come. It's like, maybe sound like a little less angry.
Mm-hmm. I love my fucking peanut butter. This is Jif and it's so amazing. You'll name your kid Jiffany. That's some amazing fucking peanut butter. And Skippy shit.
But meanwhile, you're like, can we get a rewrite here? Because right. Nobody likes their mother-in-law. We're trying to sell the peanut butter, right? Not give it away.
I go, what's on this page? Nothing's on the page. There's nothing here. It says nothing. Jif, you'll trade in your mother-in-law. I can't. What is this? It means not. Fuck it. We'll do it live. I'll write it and I'll do it live.
She turns to him at some point and says, can you do it, the beer? Can you do a beer ad now? And I'm like, are we improvising a beer ad? Holy shit.
Budweiser.
Yeah.
What?
Budweiser, when you want to drink and you want to, what are we talking about? Budweiser, I don't drink. Guess why? So she goes, and now do a beer commercial. And Keith looks at me and I look at Keith. He's in the booth. And we're like, was there a beer ad that we didn't? And she's like, no, no, just like a beer ad. I go, oh, do it in a beer voice. And Keith goes to me, what is? And I go, yeah,
he
yeah.
He goes, you fucking kidding me?
Was she? Well, she basically, she described it like, you know, a dude like who's into football. And I go, Keith, just act like a douche. And she's like, yeah, yeah, that's it.
Peanut butter. Put it on your bread. Put it on your dick. Invite the dog over.
Jeff. I did the exact same thing. I just gave Shooter McGavin behind the booth.
For pervs only, bro.
You'd be good at this.
Thank you.
I really think that's what you wanted.
Mm-hmm. So does Catherine Heller do that kind of stuff too? Or how is she connected?
She signed to that agent, so they do send her out on commercial ads and voiceovers, and now she also signed on with her podcast as well, because they started a podcast section, which is how we initially got in.
Cool.
Yeah. I went and did the same ads, and when I fuck up, I swear, maybe that's not the best situation.
What? Hemda? You? Swear? What?
But I thought I took the notes well. How do you think I did?
You were great.
And so she asked us for different voices and different parts. And I went with that excitable voice, like Robin Virginie that was here. Mm-hmm. And she's like, more of that. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, Jif, you'll give up your mother-in-law. And she's like, yes, three times like that. And I go, okay. Then at the end, she's like, this is great. I'm going to put it in your file. I think you guys did a really good job. And I go, okay, but tell us what's really up. Like, I don't want to be anywhere but where the truth is.
And then I left because I said, no, I'm good.
I can't handle the truth.
Right. Sounds good. Sounds like we did good. Bye.
And she said, you guys actually did really well. You took notes really well and your voices are very good. She made extra note on Keith's like deep tone.
Basso profundo.
Mm-hmm. Oh. That's what she said.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But then
she
turns to me and she goes, basically, that I'm not American enough. She can hear the foreigner in me. And I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I knew I sounded foreign.
You're like, Queens, bitch.
I almost said that.
You should have said that. Yeah. You should have said you could use some of that in your fucking peanut butter ads.
Yeah, but what I want.
Motherfucker.
What I want to say is I'll put on any accent you want. Like, there's no.
I'll do whatever you want. What do you want? I'll fucking do it. I don't give a shit. From Queens, New York.
But the funniest thing.
And it was like, let me guess. A gay couple can't have Cheerios, and a Middle Eastern can't have Jif.
Okay. Oh, just because I ate a bunch of sand. I can't sell peanut butter.
I can sell sand.
I could sell sand, and I could sell sandwiches.
Have you ever had chocolate milk in a bag?
She does her own ads.
She's like, fuck peanut butter. Let me tell you about something better.
And she said Keith sounded American, but she's like, but I gotta say, I heard a little bit of dialect sometimes from you also. And she looks at me and she's like, I know where you get your dialect from, meaning like you fucking foreigner face. But she's like, where are you getting your, what dialect is that? And Keith goes, nobody knows. I don't know.
Yeah, I got it from the toilet.
She's like, I thought it was Boston, but then it wasn't.
Well, I picked
don't
up.
Ruin my audition.
I pick up a little accent here and there, but I don't change the way people change from, you know, state to state, country to country. I just take a little and I add and it keeps morphing.
Yeah, you're like, it's half being sequestered as a child and half Andrew Dice Clay.
Yes.
That's actually true because your mom has a Pennsylvania dialect and that's where it half comes from. The one that people don't recognize. You know, the dice one people recognize, but there's a little bit of that, and your sister picked up on it, too.
The toilet one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. I hear it in his mom, like, for real. Yeah.
So that's the
she
that's
ruined
your
audition, your mother.
She no. ruined it. She ruined it. I have an accent, too, sometimes, but really only when I'm kind of, like, upset or tired or talking to my mom on the phone because she has really a serious one. Massachusetts.
Oh yeah, people do that when they get upset. Like I remember hearing about these Israeli guys who spent some time or grew up in Jamaica and they spoke Hebrew, but when they would get mad, their, what is that? What's the language called?
Jamaican patois? Well,
yeah, their patois comes out. So they just like speaking Hebrew and everything, and then it's like, bomboclat!
Accents is cool.
I think.
Now picture.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm there.
You're upset?
Okay.
You're in Boston.
Okay. I'm not from there, but go on.
Okay. You're visiting right now. Okay. We're pretending. Now
you're from Worcester. Just
okay. But you drive around. You're in your car. You're trying to park it. Okay. You're around Harvard Yard, let's say. What would it sound like?
I can't find a spot.
Okay. I hear you. It comes out.
Mom. Help. Do you know if there's a parking garage around here?
Yeah, it is a little different.
I can't find a spot.
That's great.
So
Catherine Howler, yes.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we saw her.
It's been a while. She likes to talk about her magical vagina, dating. Everyone loves her. Blah, blah, blah. Sounds like she's got a pretty good thing going.
Yeah, it always worries me when women call their vaginas by positive names. When your vagina needs happy reinforcement, you're going through it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm never like, ooh, I'm going to give this to you with my beautiful hand.
Right. Like you don't call ice cream, you know, cloud candy.
No.
It's great as it is. It's ice cream.
It doesn't need to be an ad for it.
Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Poon.
Thank you. No, yeah. The D and the magic. Mm-hmm. So that's...
I do like that, though, if you're going to call it something.
That's like a doo-wop group that I'm starting.
I love it.
The D and the magic.
When you're about to have sex with her and she says that, do you have to leave? Like,
yeah.
For safety.
Yeah, you do. No, I'm just kidding. I love everyone, and everybody does a great job with their talking.
You were going to say poon.
With their poon.
I don't think she was. We asked the poll, are you freaky in bed? 53% of our audience says yes.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't know?
If you think you're freaky, you're freaky.
You think so?
No.
No, nope. That's not true.
No, it's not.
How about all the people who read 50 Shades of Grey and they were like, ooh, now I'm into BDSM. It's like, you read a novel. Cool. Good job.
But maybe it opened them up to something.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Sure. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Moving along. Mm-hmm. How to Not Give Up with Graham Elwood and Ron Placone.
Getting political, yeah.
Getting political. They're, you know, I'm sure that they would be happy to know that you voted today in the Queens DA.
They're super nice. First of all, I love that Graham keeps in touch. So, and we both keep in touch with each other. When we're in LA, we get in touch. When they're here, we get in touch. So we're always on each other's shows.
And you guys were in his movie.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was with earbuds. That's cool. Yeah, we got some good credit on there. I think it was like, well, if you're going to talk about podcasting, you have to bring up Keith and the girl. And then they brought us in. And it was really early on in the movie. So if you haven't seen Earbuds, you know.
We're the first podcast, I believe, mentioned. Very exciting. And then throughout.
Yeah, it was really cool. And he introduced us to his friend Ron. And so, you know, these are two political guys. Of course, we're a little bit nervous that they're going to lean a little too much on more serious topics. But what a hoot. Ron was super nice. I always like people who laugh at my jokes. And it's nice to have comedians in here who respond.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like, a lot of times you see this focus on the comic's face because they're calculating all the jokes. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, too, because you're working and it's great, but here we were able to kind of like loosen up and everyone was just laughing at each other's stuff, which is great. That's how he was at the meeting. I concur.
And yes. I think it was funny to hear, Keith, you pitch all of your shouldn't these people die scenarios.
If we're getting political.
Yeah.
Should a officer that pulls, you know.
And like, I know you're doing it for jokes, but also you're serious. Yes. And yes. I don't think that people who maybe meet you for the first time or have only hung out with you a handful of times really know the extent to which you're serious.
That's fair, because change
takes
time.
And maybe even some of the listeners don't even know the extent to which you're
maybe
serious.
Maybe they don't need to know.
Keith wants to murder you if you make a mistake. Yeah. Okay? So be careful.
Well, he's never made one.
When you're around him. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just do the right thing.
Yeah. It's not that hard.
You can't offend me by accident.
There's one rule. Do the right thing.
That's it.
I don't understand. It's not like 10 commandments.
That's fucking it, dude.
Yeah. Even God said he can narrow it down to two rules. I only have one.
This was the episode where you talked about sending your dad the email about 86ing the voice. Mail.
Yes, I sent a letter saying, oh, I missed your phone call. Did you 86 the answering machine? And him now knowing 86 is something wrong has to write it out, the number 86, and says, what does it mean, 86ing the answering machine? Am I fucking it with my mouth from behind? And I said, no, it means you get rid of something the same way, you know, fake cat explained it.
Right.
So no
lessons learned.
I thought that would be the giveaway.
Me too. Nope. You know, for any normal human, it would be an odd coincidence.
Anybody right. who thinks these emails are getting too mean, like I'm trying. I'm trying over here. I can't end it. I'm trying. I'm sending emails from fake cat and me at the exact same time. I'm trying here.
Yeah.
He's not even, he doesn't even have like a cat voice on or anything.
No, it's right. just Keith.
And they're both formatted the same way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Well, he probably thinks that you taught her how to write an email.
Maybe.
Because you're so smart.
Right.
And so much older.
What was the poll here?
The poll here was, Americans only, have you given up on politics? 18% of our audience that filled out the poll are not American. The final percents are yes, I have given up. 31%. 51%
wow.
say no, I have not.
That's a huge percent to give up.
Sure. And you, yeah.
Guess you guys didn't vote today. Right. Rude.
I better hear no complaining, right?
Yeah, you can't.
I'll do all
shit.
The complaining for you.
See what you guys did?
Right.
You gave Keith more power because he's voting on behalf of everyone.
Why are you complaining, Keith? Because I got a sticker, which is what you give adults when they do something they should anyway.
Oh, looks like you got two stickers.
Yeah, I got a sticker that says I voted, and then one I can give to my stepson. I'm a future voter.
Oh, that's nice. That's cute. Mm-hmm. So Maya doesn't get one, huh? All right, cool.
Wow. Wow. That's a really good point.
Yeah. Cool. The one that you need help with. All right, cool.
Maybe you should give it to her.
Well, whichever one I need to make jealous.
Oh, you don't want women to have the right to vote. I forgot.
Let's all calm down, you know. I'll give it to the son for now.
Okay. Swingers with Robin Schall.
Yes.
What a hilarious, fun, just a joyful, like, mm-hmm. perfect bubble of energy.
Yeah, she's always
listening
like that.
To her.
Yeah.
And, you know, just reminiscing about her experience with you becoming introduced to Kyle. And
she's taking a lot of credit for me and Kyle's relationship. Yeah. Yes.
As well she should.
Sure.
I think she had a lot to do with it.
She was there in the room.
She saw it. I didn't.
Yeah. No. Hemda was all, you know, distracted by her poon cloud.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, because I think there's so much joking around here, and I think if you're doing it right, maybe I shouldn't see it. Maybe because we all kind of dip in with each other in a safe way, I think, you know?
Mm, yeah, dip in a safe way. That's really my policy when it comes to relationships.
Like, I've fake flirted with people,
right.
You know, when I saw that, like, oh, this is the kind of thing that we can do on mic. So I didn't think it was such a big deal.
Yeah, you were just going with the flow.
Yeah.
This episode sparked a great debate on the forums about sugar relationships.
Sugar daddies, sugar babies,
sugar
if you will.
Fathers, sugar daughters, mm-hmm. sugar sons, sugar mothers.
Sticky sweet. Well, we put up the poll. Could you be a sugar baby where no physical sex is required? Can you mm-hmm. talk dirty when they need you to talk dirty? 56% of our audience say they could. I said that I could. What do you think, Bianca? Are you able to do that? Would you? Sex isn't required, but you got to be all pervy with this guy.
What is required?
Giving him attention, including a sexual attention, having dinner with him and being agreeable. Your face is saying no.
I'm not really. How much money?
He will give you $2,000 a month, dinner twice a week, text every day.
No. Too much work.
Okay. Can I tell I on
that $2,500, you can repeat the texts, but it's still at least every day you know that I masturbate.
No, I just don't think that's enough money.
$5,000 a week.
A week.
You acknowledge every day that you know I masturbated, and we have dinner once a week.
Getting there. But I feel like I could do better that's in the negotiation. That's as high as I can go right now, all right. Honestly. I'm walking.
I talked a big game during that, and then I thought about it. It to me was the same as, remember when Kyle went overseas and the dudes had the dog jump on them and bite, and I was like, yeah, it's safe and blah, blah, blah. And then I remembered I wouldn't even let a dolphin kiss me. I was running away. Like, I'm so fucking, yeah, it's totally safe. So I thought about this. You know, what if, because I was like, yeah, of course, there's like, you know, set rules. I don't even have to touch him, whatever. But I was seeing this guy and he was a trust fund kid. He didn't have to work. And he would say things like, you don't have to take out your wallet when we're going to dinner. I still would. And he like didn't understand it because he was kind of used to women like accepting that he's in that role. And I know, and I remember like, if I can't do it then, you know, because he's like, oh, if you want to go on vacation, just like, name the place and whatever. And I was like, no, this is not romance to me. This is not a gift. This is very odd to me. It doesn't feel good. And you're not my daddy. So I don't want a daddy. This is very weird. And we broke up. So even when it's handed to me on a platter, I'm like, this needs to be presented well. So I didn't take that for granted. Well, so why would I decide that I could just do that? I part of me goes, well, the other one is very black and white. Like, you pay me this and I do this. But
yeah, I'm not making like a moralistic judgment about it. I think people should do whatever they want safely and without hurting others or breaking the law. But I think for me, it just doesn't sound appealing because it's a lot of emotional labor and it has to happen during, like, at the whim of that person, you know, like, yes. I can't.
It's kind of slave labor.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a lot of control over my hours, and I would rather, like, be working at a restaurant for 8 hours a day because then I can just leave and not think about it. You know, I wouldn't want to have to take work home with you. You know, I don't like
that. It sounds like a good idea until we all remember we don't have a high tolerance for this kind of shit. So,
And I just don't think it would be fun for me. It wouldn't.
Well, that's why it's called work.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I guess, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, if somebody really put it to me, like, listen, this is what it would be, and I'm, you know, when we're in this space, I talk to you this way, but when we're out of this space negotiating, then, you know, we're just business partners, then maybe, and, you know, we wrote up an agreement, and I didn't have to touch him, you know, but it just sounds like a lot of work to me.
Okay, no dinner. You have to mail in used panties once a week. And once a week, you have to admit that women are dumb, dumb bitches.
Oh, no, boy. I couldn't do that. Okay. I couldn't do that.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
The post office? You're kidding me? I can't go there. It's a nightmare. Okay. 3097. Superstar of David with Periel Ashen Brand. Tough interview, guys.
That's what we're hearing on the forums.
I mean, I don't know what the vibe was like here, but it just didn't seem like she wanted to answer any of the questions because every time you asked one, the first thing she would say is no.
Right.
Well,
I was like, remember, like, UCB, like, improv, yes, and, like, we're talking, it's a give, it's a take. She's like, no, I never said that. It's like, okay, sorry, well, you're on a podcast, I don't know what to,
What's the thing with, she's not a comic per se, not that
no,
you have to.
No, she is.
Okay, great, she's a comic per se, so never mind that point.
She does stand up. She hasn't done it for a while, and she doesn't have.
And then at one point, she was like, "Oh well, I hope people still buy my book. I'm telling them about Like, yeah. She was worried about spoiling her own book.
Right.
But I'm like, the spoiler, you're married to your husband and it's on Instagram. Like, we know
like,
the
that's
end.
It's just promoting your book.
But also,
it's okay.
When you write an autobiography, the ending is spoiled. You wrote it. You're alive. Right.
I died. Don't tell anybody.
I don't know how to break this to you. I was a little nervous about booking her. We did go to school together. She did interview me for that, whatever.
But for a Jewish magazine.
Yeah. I did start reading her book, and it was so open. Like,
right.
One of the first things was her masturbating in the supermarket, and she spoke so openly about...
As a kid.
Yeah, she spoke so openly about the mistakes that she made with men, the desperation that she had, the breaking up with them, and then sort of humiliating herself. Like they there was one guy was like, "Get out," and she's like, "No, I'm staying," sort of thing. You know, very open, very spoke very clearly, and also like in regular English,
right?
Like with curse words, and it was very not prima donna-ish. But I do worry about writers because I think they write this salacious stuff and then they expect it to sort of stay in the book and that their interview will be about, will be on a more intellectual level, which is not, to me, how you sell a book on a podcast.
Right.
You say the salacious things and then, like I remember Bonnie McFarlane was on My Opening Line and she basically went through her whole timeline of her... Her making it in the business. Then I read her book. I just recently finished it. She basically told us the entire book on a podcast, but it was still really interesting to read. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah. Get over it.
Right. Well, there's also a thing with authors. That's true. Yeah, it's almost like they feel they're handing you their diary, but if to talk about it would be too much.
Yeah.
And you know, and
I would say like ask me all the fucked right. up shit so that I can sound like it's a good book.
Well, it's almost like when you have a comedian that says something to be shocking and then you're like, wait a minute, follow up on that? Your friend put his dick in your mouth? He's like, yeah, but why?
Just as an offhanded example.
But why are we talking any more about it? I'm like, no, you brought it up.
Right.
And why do you think that's the end? That you can just say a shocking thing. Authors are like that. And she has the book, The Only Bush I Trust Is My Own. But somehow now I'm the weirdo to ask about the bush.
And also,
I'm not being so crazy invasive, but I'm asked about your bush. It's in your title.
Yeah, and I'm also telling you about mine. You know, it's that kind of show. And then I thought it was very funny. I didn't know how much she was holding on to it until like a minute later. She's like, just to be clear, it's not like a crazy bush down there. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and I said, no, you look like you're sitting fine. I'm sure it's fine. But let's move on. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
No, I thought she was really interesting. And I like sometimes, you know, and I was intrigued by her story enough so that I would want to check out her book for sure. Right. She seems cool. And like, I liked her. But I think it's interesting sometimes when the dynamic is so different on the show. Like, so different than the previous episode with Robin, where it's like funny and fun and light and just going where it goes. And Robin was talking about her work, her characters, and falling down and duct taping a sex swing to the ceiling, etc. And it's just like more easy to listen to. It's just kind of that's what's so cool about podcasts is it's you can sense these dynamics between people.
I understand the way shows are, so I can't blame them too much, but you do have these guests that are ready to be tricked. And I feel like she was ready to be tricked.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And I think if you've done, and she has done, mainstream media, you stay to the clean topics, you know, ahead of time. And I did try to prep her ahead of time. I was like, we're going to talk about you masturbating in the supermarket. We're going to talk about these two boyfriends that you mentioned in the book. And I didn't tell her I didn't finish reading her book, but to me, it's like, do you even know that I wrote a book? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't think that you should say stuff like, you guys really need to finish the book. I think that everybody in the interview is trying to make each other look good. So don't mention the bad part. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, understand that I read enough of your book that I'm naming the characters and I'm naming some, and I gave you a chance ahead of time to say, what part of these characters do you want to focus on? Do you want to come up with the stories that we'll lead you into? But It's one of those like, well I wrote the book, so right. I'm an open book. And I'm like,
yeah. And then Henda says like two guys' names in the book. And she goes, well, those aren't even the real names.
I mean, I know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just not a very yes, Andy right. type of interview.
I didn't notice until I heard it back. I loved it. I loved the show when it was done. And then I heard it back, and that's when I heard that, like, oh, we did work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've been doing it so long, you don't even recognize it as work right. anymore. So you make it look easy to yourself.
Cool. I was surprised that she didn't feel, I think she's very outspoken, and that's what I really like about her. And she was as a kid, which is why she probably didn't feel oppressed at that school. But as females, we all had to wear skirts. I think that's oppressive to begin with. You know what I mean? Right. Like when you start there, when you're monitoring, like guys were not allowed to wear jeans, but they could in the fucking winter wear pants, you yeah. know? And even for a while, they started being like, should we allow leggings? And we're like, you really need to start fucking the fuck off. You know what I mean? Like just even that is oppressive. And just the lack of intellect in our teachers, like the lack of right. real, you're paying money to be in a school. And I can feel that you needed to find a Jewish teacher. And that you didn't do a lot of research beyond that. And that's what bothers me about tradition. And that's what bothers me about religion a lot of times is you get the lesser than because the pool is smaller and people understand that you need them. Same thing with like, I have to marry a Jewish guy. A lot of Jewish guys don't step up as far because they know that Jewish women will have to go. So they like put in some requirements, but they understand that they have the upper hand and that sucks. So that's oppressive to me.
Yeah, I think she wasn't interested in speaking about any systemic issues. She just wanted to focus on her own experience and that's the barometer by which she measured the Jewish school was her own experience, not like as it pertains to the world at large.
Yeah, and I find that awesome because it's I understood her home life was way more loose than mine right. and I actually envy that mm-hmm. so I get why you don't feel oppressed because you're not also going home to an even more oppressive right. place so good on you
but then also the emails
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh she was a little bit like wait she had a look on her face like she needed to determine if we're monsters. Like, it really was so shocking that she's like, is this okay? Did I just discover that I'm in the room with actual fucked up in the head people? Right? Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then as we went on, and that's why I went on that thing where it's like, well, you keep oppressing your son and you keep pushing him down and telling him that he sees wrong and he remembers wrong and that, you know, whatever your dad does is 100% perfect. This is the response you're going to get. And then you can't cry about it. And yeah. I think she backed off after that.
Yeah, it's like in general, yes, we care about how kids are being treated. But if you hear a story one-on-one, what's the big deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. If you heard about this without somebody going, my father is not the best. If you heard about a father who did this, that yeah. father is a monster.
Right. And I think you tried to make it clear, like, I acknowledge that I'm doing something that is really crazy and weird
right.
like this is not normal this is you know
yeah
huge
and it's something that other people wouldn't do
right and you weren't saying I think I'm like you feel justified in a way but you don't feel justified that this is like perfectly regular
right
so I think once she realized that she kind of was like whoa and then once she's heard what your dad said, mm-hmm. she was like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that really
she's
lets
like,
people
so
in.
So everyone in this situation is fucked up.
Yeah, basically.
Today on I'm a Big Asshole, yeah. No, there's other sides going on. What did you think when you heard that? That, of course, was Kat started being very flirtatious and said, I'm in love with a man of God who's been emailing me. And right away, you know, when they want to make things that make sense, they can make it make sense. My dad made it make sense, and he knew without question that, well, she's talking about me, and baby, you make my libido jiggle. Ugh,
fucking hell.
So
can't.
Awful. I mean, like Hemda said on that episode, everything that he said before that was, like, pretty good response.
See, that's funny. See, I was saying this the following week, where I think it's in proportion to the last libido jingle line. The rest doesn't look so bad. But if you look
maybe
at the rest,
true.
It was, you're beautiful, you're desirous. This is the only words
that's
you can.
Not a word.
These are the only words you can think of to call, let somebody down gently.
Right.
If the following line was, I can't wait to whack off to you tonight, then you'd be like, you know, it was fine. And then he mentions libido right. a little bit, but well, then the whacking off was too much. Whatever the last line, it would have been that. The whole fucking thing is disgusting.
I totally get your point of view, and I know that you're right. It's just that I so expected him to only go with it that I was feeling proud of him for being like, for even expressing, hey, you're misunderstanding this and I'm going to make sure that you understand that.
Right.
Whether I understand that he thinks that she's pretty, but I thought in his way, he's going like, listen, you know, you are a person that should be loved, just not in that way by me. And he's not that articulate. So I was like, oh, wow, taking the high road, you know. But I know you're right.
I was explaining that. Actually, I told this to one of my siblings for the first time last night.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Did you?
Exclusive.
Who?
To one of my brothers, and he loves it.
No.
Really?
Yeah. No. Now, what's funny is he's my brother that devil advocates a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And so he would say, oh, it's just his libido, he said. And then another email, it's just this. And I said, well, when you have all these little just this, it adds up to a pile of shit. You know, I was telling the story how I dated somebody and I found out that she cheated in games. And so each little thing, she could justify it. But when it's all together, it's a thing. Why do you have Words with Friends cheat code on your phone? Oh, I just downloaded it. I was curious what it was. I never looked at it. Okay.
You know what?
Did I just get you still $500 from Monopoly? No, I was owed it from... Okay. But then you have all these things and it's like, oh, this is you. That's what these emails are. Yeah. Okay. Can you explain 86 away? I guess in and of itself. But, you know, now, my brother, you're being a little ridiculous.
In that vein, I used to catch Hennessy lying to other people. And I would be like, why do you need to lie? And so... he'd be running late for an appointment and make up such a grandiose lie. Like, I got so sick. I was throwing up blood. Like, I had to stop in the hospital. Like, no exaggeration. And I'm like, why do you just tell them you're running late or you can't make it? I don't understand. And so in hindsight, which cannot stand the clarity of hindsight, really just punches
pretty
me in the
fucking
face.
Fucking annoying, right? Yeah, hindsight, yeah. You're like, where were you before?
Uh-huh. And so in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, he used to give me grandiose, you know, just like, well, this happened, my phone died, and it's like on and on. It's like, well, how do you, you know, you're having such a bad day. What? Well, I'm not going to add to it. Like, and now all of a sudden I'm comforting you.
Right.
That's fucked up.
So your brother loves the
he enjoys it
saga?
Doesn't bother him.
And you're not worried that he'll leak it?
I said don't.
Because you're siblings sometimes.
I think they need to be told everything, some of them. And otherwise, you know, they'll give information because I think they get nervous over the phone sometimes. They're like, I don't know what to say either. Keith curses on the show. But, you know, Ken's the only one who knows. So if anybody else finds out, then I know it came through him.
He squealed.
Yeah.
Hold on. Do not tell anyone else because there was a leak in your family. I don't think it was Ken. I have my ideas. Mm-hmm. But Ken gets mad out of places.
Yeah. Oh, he probably, it's weird because I have two brothers, Ken being one of them, that I think my dad upset the most.
Yeah.
And yet they defend him in weird ways. Like whenever I go, look at this. I can't believe dad wrote my ex in the very beginning. I told the whole family. And it was the two brothers that were like, okay, well, that's dad. And I'm like, and the other ones are understanding how egregious it is.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Well, you two are the calm ones.
Maybe the youngest one, you not only get to be the most angry, but you also get to be the most, what is it called when you like your captor?
Sure.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, you get the most Stockholm syndrome, but also you have the most hate about it. It's I think it goes hand in hand.
Well, he went to Ricky's funeral.
Who did? What? Ken?
Where are we?
Or your dad?
Are you serious?
Ken ended up moving to Pittsburgh, so he was close to where the funeral was going to be in Pittsburgh. And so he ended up going, but he doesn't know anything.
At the funeral home, they were like, who are you looking for?
He honestly thought.
And he's like, I don't know.
He's like Tommy, I think. Like
Ricky?
He had the wrong name.
Oh, no.
That's the extent of my knowledge. Yeah.
But anyway, he's like...
Did your parents go?
Yeah. So he's saying, you know, dad was very nice. And I wonder if I got confused for a second. Like, oh, I have a nice dad. And I'm like, oh, you're still going through that.
Wow. Yeah. No, I get it. I have to remember how much my dad hates me. Like, that's a weird thing to remember.
Right.
Because it's so stupid. It's just like, how did it add up to that? Because it doesn't add up, I have to keep adding different math in my head to get to the same number.
Right.
So I listened to the Shalewa episode. No spoilers, but she's the best. Is there more to come in the email?
There were so then there was that, and then my dad writes me 6:40 in the morning, maybe 2 days later. And says, how's my beloved son? Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, definitely follow us on social media because you get this stuff ahead of time.
But, yeah, I mean, to me, that's so gross, too.
Yeah.
Just want to see how my beloved son is doing while I'm trying to fuck your ex.
Yeah, I think it's getting ahead of something.
Somebody likes me.
Right. How's love with you?
Hi, Keith. I have a secret admirer. It's a secret. That'd be
great.
Ex-wife.
That'd be great if this Christmas he adds, you know, because... A lot of dads who are just, they always have that one person that they could have had sex with, but they said no because they were in love. I'm like, you know how many people wanted to fuck your wife? Just stop yourself. Course. You remember twice that you might have gotten hit on, which you know you misunderstood. So I wonder if now this story gets added.
Oh, yeah.
And then he'll forget who he's talking to and he'll express himself in that way to you.
He'll
guys.
Express it to me, yeah.
Yeah.
What a
man.
That's going to be great. That's the best Christmas present ever.
Well, this Friday.
That and socks.
We didn't record it yet, but I know on this Friday I will talk about more emails that I got from him to me specifically after the, hey, how you doing? And I was clear, I'm doing great with this new family and blah, blah, blah. Because okay. I'm seeing if now he'll think he can go off and marry my ex. Now that he knows there's no chance that we're getting back together. And he goes,
you're straight up doing To Catch a Predator this point. Yeah.
And so if you remember, Fake Catherine corrected dad on the name of the song Cats in the Cradle.
Right.
My dad writes me, he goes, have you ever heard the song Cats in the Cradle?
Oh, like, my God.
Oh, Keith passed me the email, God. And I was gasping.
This is like a psychosexual drama of epic proportions.
Yeah. Oh, and then we tried doing the math based on his emails and like all the different situations that he said he was in and all, like, because he gave us dates and stuff. He gave us, this is me.
I'm like, you love this Cats in the Cradle story. I don't remember it like that, like you were gone so often. Well, one believes what one wants to believe when blah, blah, blah. You know, words that he's not really saying anything. And he's like, I was on the road for 22 years till 1986.
Yes. Then we started doing math based on that.
Oh. When did you go to State College? Yep. I mean.
Yeah.
You should just start, you should just start asking.
Right. Is that right? Is that when you were attacked by four men separately? I'm doing this math and I'm not what he's talking about. How would he meet my mom? He's on the road. When did he become a priest? He's on the road. What road is this?
What road is it? Besides, I'm pretty sure I remember either your mother or your dad, I think it was your mom, saying that it was a very short-lived thing. I thought it was like a year or two.
Well, it's 22 years apparently. Nobody in my family knows it.
22 years of this fucking magic show?
Who knows?
Why aren't you?
Oh, right. I forgot that also what was done on the road is not clear.
It's not even clear. It's not clear to me. I'm explaining all this the best I can, everybody.
Sucks you were on the road so long and nobody has any idea what you were doing. And that you were even doing it.
It also sucks that your mom has Alzheimer's now because there's no one there to co-sign anything.
I called her. This was yesterday. I called her for... Oh, this is how me and my brother started talking. I called her for the birthday, her birthday. Mm. And I sent in a group text, anybody want to join me on a call?
Yeah,
and
that's always... When you have siblings, that is the number one thing to do.
And then Ken joined me, and then we started talking ourselves. But I made a mistake during the call, because when I call other people, I'm like, all right, give me a call, Mike. This is Mark. Bye. Just being stupid. Mm. Well, I'm like, hi, I'm here. I'm Keith and Mike. And Ken will be like, I'm Mark. And my mom's like, I'm insane. I'm like, never mind. Start over. Shit. It's blown her mind. Two people are on the phone as is.
But you know what? But you all have the same voices. And now she thinks all her sons called her.
Right. Like she says, earlier I talked to Keith. And I'm like, I'm sure you did. Okay. But I was polite. So that's what matters. But I would hear my dad on the other end just saying, like, how's my wonderful son doing? And I'm like, I'm going to vomit.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I got to focus on mom. Ugh.
Yeah. How was the call? How did your mom?
In and out. She describes the bagel she likes to make with chia seeds and cream cheese and the grapes and the nap she took and if she can make it to church or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. She's really living a rated G life. Your dad has some demons up in there.
Oh, he's showtime. Yeah.
Wow.
Stop looking at us
like
that.
This guy's rated R. I don't know how to look at
it. I know. I get it.
I prefer a life of bagels, you know, to a life of sin.
I would sooner put grapes in my bagel than deal with this.
I know. That sounds crazy, but not as crazy as what dad's up to.
Yep. Wow, Keith.
Yeah.
The Malley family.
What should the next email be? So I have the letters that I'll talk about on Friday to me, but now it's Kat's turn to write something sexual, I believe.
I think you should just write, this is Keith, and it has been the whole time.
No, Bianca, stop it.
Now, do you jerk off to me?
No, didn't.
Gotcha, bitch. Something like that.
who is telling us? Lucas had a good idea because we were all jumping to like, we were all jumping too far. What did he say was like the in-between?
I don't remember, but Lucas Connolly was the idea where, hey, you say you're moving on, and then he'll even be able to be dirtier to the ex.
No, I think it's time to call it. Why? I think you got what you wanted.
Mm. No,
I got the proof you needed.
You got close to the fire, but I think we need to jump in.
Yeah, take that from the woman who literally lit her hand on fire.
That's right. And survived it. And look at my hand. Yeah. All good.
You're saying she doesn't respect fire.
But look at my hand.
Right.
And how prudent and smart it is.
It is like a doll. It's like a China doll.
All right. Any other thoughts on last week?
No, I'm going to be sick. No.
I think for your own good, you need to shut it down.
I guess I just want a little, you know, that my brother could say, hey, maybe he's just old and he uses the word libido. And I'm like, then I need dick pics.
Okay.
I need to shut you the fuck up.
We're back in my realm. Sorry, Bianca. Apparently dick pics.
Mm. All right.
We asked the audience, were you surprised by Keith's dad's response? 2-1, they said no.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
I was 45. I was surprised.
Yeah, you need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tell you this about your dad.
That's what I'm learning.
He delivers.
Keith, I feel like you're the type of person who, and I get it because me too, who like gets their heart broken by someone and then immediately continues to look at their Instagram and like follows their new relationship and like looks at all their wedding pictures just because you want to hurt yourself with the information. Mm-hmm. And I think it's
he calls it being a detective.
A masochistic instinct.
It's food for thought.
Take a look at yourself, you know, just take a look. Yeah. How is this serving you now at this point?
Oddly good.
Keith is amused by this stuff. He's got movies, Kyle, his new kids.
Right. And these emails. If
he likes to feel pain.
I don't, if it's not work, I don't do things I don't like to do. So I definitely like this more than I don't like it.
But it does cause you pain.
No.
Okay.
I believe that you think this pain is already there. It's the pain of your dad, and your dad is going to, because he's like this, that's a pain. But yes, it alleviates it to know, like, that's him and I'm just playing with it.
Like there is, I understand that's confusing, there is a new layer that I didn't know was there, but at the same time, it's still the same pathetic douche.
Right.
This in a way is Keith finding out the truth, and that's how he likes to live in
it's
the truth.
It's almost better, almost. The worse it gets, the better it is, almost.
Okay, I was trying to be on your side, but you're saying wacky shit.
No, the worse I find out that if I do get a dick pic, it's like, you really were just a walking ball of muscle. You know what? Good. Good, because nothing could have been fixed or done. Not that I even have doubts that it could, but it's very clear. Like, oh, you're just a penis in a suit.
Right. It kind of alleviates you. Like, I could not have done, said, reacted any way different. This is you 100% every single time. And I've tested it all kinds of ways and it comes out with the same result. Then I did the right thing to not like you.
Right.
Right. But I think just the fact that you keep doing the tests means that you're not convinced of the result yet.
I'm not convinced it could get so dark.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Right.
So. I'm not convinced we're not going to get dick pics.
I don't want to see them. That's all I know.
Keith, I'm sorry to tell you I do. I don't know how to tell you that other than to just be straightforward. I'm going to, if he sends dick pics, I am going to need to see them.
I told my brother, I go, okay, but if he makes a mistake because he's an old man and we get a picture of actually his forehead in the ceiling, can we admit he tried to take a dick pic? And he said yes, he'll agree to that.
All right. Well, that's it.
What a day.
I bet I can get him to describe it.
His penis?
Yeah. Is it circumcised? Is it yummy?
He'll use weird words. He'll try to intellectualize yummy? His dick.
He just talked about his dad's penis and used the word yummy. Mm-hmm, we gotta go. That is enough. Enough. Listener, I don't know why I do this.
She's scrubbing herself down in the shower. Still warm. What show do I have?
I do have a college education. No, I love it. I love the psychosexual drama of Keith's dad. A song?
Please.
Sugar, sugar, bum, 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 bum. Oh, honey, honey, bum, 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 bum. You are my candy girl.
Gross.
Here's $5,000 a week. EthanTheGirl.com.